Okay, the Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent will be Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Zephaniah is the last listed, canonically, of the pre-exilic prophets. His prophetic ministry takes place during Josiah's reign in the late 7th century. The bulk of his message is final judgment of Judah, the Josianic revival notwithstanding. And yet, in the passage that we'll take a look at here momentarily, the rejection of Israel slash Judah is something that marks a change that provides for an enlargement of the scope of God's redemption to include all nations. And the text that we take a look at is, on the one hand, a call to joy, and yet there remain elements of judgment in it. So, let's begin. Verse 14. Vani bat Tzion hari'u Yisrael. Rani, a kal imperative singular feminine, the Hirak Yod ending, shalt, daughter of Zion, and then Hari'u, Yisrael, in parallel with that is another shalt, a loud word. This time notice that the imperative is a hifil and it is masculine plural. And there we will find that there are lots of feminine singular pronominal references in this passage because of daughter of Zion, daughter of Jerusalem, and so forth. And yet every once in a while, the more generic masculine pronouns talking to the whole people enter into it. Next line of verse 14. Simchi va'alzi b'kol lev bat Yerushalayim. Simchi, again another singular feminine imperative, rejoice once again. Let's see, something like exult, celebrate, the root alaz, The prophet has sort of trotted out several of his vocabulary for similar kinds of things, and when there is such an inclusive kind of set of vocabulary this way, it always suggests to me the not urgency, but the intensity or the magnitude of the joy. This is something really to be excited about. And it's exult with all your heart, daughter of Jerusalem. Verse 15, Hesir Yahweh Mishpatayik Pina Oyveik. Yahweh has turned aside, or turns aside, your judgment. Now, Mishpat can be justice as well as judgment, and yet in the case of the context here, it would seem to be turning away something which is wrathful in favor of a benevolent and gracious activity toward his people. And you can see the second singular feminine pronominal suffixes, the ayik and ake, tsere, with the final kaf on the oyvek. Pina oyvek. He sets aside your enemy or enemies. Next line, Melech Yisrael, Yahweh, Bekir Beik. The King of Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, is in your midst or among you. Lo Ti Ra Ov. you will not fear, lo plus the imperfect, or recall that since the negative imperative is the negative particle al, ayin, or excuse me, aleph lamed, that the lo plus the imperfect can be a simple negated future, or it can be a very strong prohibition such that you shall not fear evil anymore. And once again, still the second singular, second feminine singular pronominal reference on tiri. So it's prepare for good news and recognizing that those things which stand against the faithful people of God, those things are being turned aside from Zion and Jerusalem. Verse 16, Bayom Hahu, in that day, Ye Amer Lirushalayim, Ye Amer Nifal, imperfect, third singular masculine, it will be said in, or maybe even of, Jerusalem, or even to Jerusalem, Al Tirai Tzion, do not fear, Zion, Al Yirpu Yadayik. Here we have another negation. This time it's jussive, third masculine plural, and the yadayik, your hands, your hands are the subject of the verb. So let not your hands droop. As a kind of signal of dismay, or the you know, some sort of a notion of maybe a shrugging or something like that that indicates helplessness and despair. Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands you know, droop or drop down to your side. So the there's something that is to be rejoiced in. Bad things are to be turned aside, and now the appropriate response is not only not to fear, but it's expressed negatively, but it's sort of like you know, strengthen the weak hands you know, and firm up the feeble knees and so forth. Because Yahweh is going to act for the good, the ultimate good of his people. Verse 17, Yahweh Elohaik Bekir Bake. Recall back at the end of, or near the end of verse 15, we had the King of Israel, Yahweh is among you. Now we have Yahweh, your God, is in your midst or among you. Gibor Yoshia. Gibor is an adjective in form, a singular masculine, you know, clearly modifying Yahweh, God. A lot of translations almost make the Yoshia into an infinitive sort of form, strong to save. Here it would be, it's either the adjective could be treated as a substantive, like a strong one, he will save, or I think there's also the possibility that we could read it sort of adverbially, you know, strongly or mightily he will save you. So the emphasis there would be on the sort of the decisiveness of the action when Yahweh comes to his people. Verse 17 begins to describe some of that activity that Yahweh enacts. Yasis alayik basimcha. He will rejoice upon or over you with simcha, with joy, rejoicing. Yahrish bahavato. He will, let's see, the root Charash has a number of It's got about four different root occurrences in BDB. The last two really don't count. The one that is that I encountered most in English versions has to do with he will quiet you with his love, and that's certainly appropriate in the setting with the invitation not to be afraid, and yet it doesn't sort of pick up in the rejoicing element here. The an alternative is that the other use of charash, or the other kind of root, is in the call to engrave, and we sort of have to notice that we have a verb and a prepositional phrase, the yasis basimcha in the first colon, yachrish ba'ahavato in the second colon. What is missing in the second colon is the alayach, or something that corresponds to the you. So, given that, it would be sort of like he will, sort of maybe engrave or fashion some way upon you in or with his love, which is to sort of impress it on his people. So he rejoices over or on account of them with joy that is of his making, and he embosses or impresses on them with his love, in a way sort of sealing them as his own. Although I won't rule out the he will quiet you with or in his love. Last line of 17, Yagil Alayek, notice the Alayek now is repeated, Barina, and this colon really does echo the first one in the previous line, the Yasis, because we have another rejoice word, Gil, and Barina, with a shout. He will rejoice over you with a shout of joy, a kind of an exclamation. So notice up to this point, there's almost a kind of inclusio in the sense that, first of all, the people are urged to rejoice and to cry out, Rani. Now there is the element of God rejoices in his people, and that is a mark of their deliverance because he rejoices over them, Barina, with a cry or shout of joy. Now in BHS, you'll notice that verse 18 is printed, the first part is printed on the same line. And yet there is a kind of turn from verse 17 to verse 18 that says that the BHS editors have not printed this correctly. They should have followed the Masoretes. Nuge mimoed asafti. And notice that in asafti, in the next line, there is a disjunctive accent. So the nuge are those who suffer or grieve or something like that, mi mo'ev, min plus the word mo'ev, which is an appointed, it's an appointed something. Could be an appointed time, could it be an appointed place, can be an appointed meeting or the event itself. English versions talk about those who mourn on account of the festival or festivals or something like that. I sort of wonder whether, and that's, again, that's a distinct possibility because of how Mo'ed gets used. I wonder also whether it simply has to do with the appointed time in terms of the Bayom Ha'u, the in that day language, or, as we'll see shortly, the Ba'et Ha'hi, in that season, eighth time or season. That it's people who are waiting for the coming day of the Lord, which is a great Advent theme in itself. So those who mourn or who grieve on account of the appointed time or the appointed festival, I gather, asafti. then the mimake hayu, and then verse 18 is an awkward one. It's sort of from out of you they are, which is to say that those who mourn belong to, but are in some way separate from the people in Judah. So they belong to you, and if there is apprehension about those who are sort of afar off, then here is part of God's promise to bring them near. Mas'et aleha, notice there, aleha, third singular feminine pronominal suffix, and that's where the language has shifted from addressing an audience with the second singular feminine pronouns. Now it's something that sort of shifts into a narrative, third person place. Maseit aleha cherpa, a burden upon her reproach. That's the three words that are there. And sort of figuring out what the is it a burden upon her is reproach. Is it something along the lines? Here's one possibility, that the reproach that is simply in the separation, that there are people who belong to the people of God who are in the place where they're supposed to be, and there are people who, because of affliction and so forth, have been moved away, that that it is the fact that there are people who mourn for the appointed time, for the gathering, that the very existence of separation is a burden upon, the reproach of the separation is or has been a burden upon her, and her, I do think, refers still to Zion. If you went back to the very opening verses of the chapter in 3:1, there it's singular feminine forms of participles are used that have to do with the oppressing city, the rebellious city, and so forth. And now to in the next part of the text to encounter not only this third singular feminine pronominal suffix, but some other singular feminine forms of participles sort of indicates that we have in a sense come full circle from a woe about the rebellious city, addressing to Zion and Jerusalem in the early part of this text, and now actually picking up some sort of resuming some of the third person descriptive kinds of things. So this reproach has been a burden upon her. Verse 18. Verse 19 now, Hini, behold I, look to me, I oseh es kol mit'anayek. Behold I am doing, or I am making, and I think that we just wind up having to read the et there as the preposition et, rather than a direct object marker, so that I am sort of dealing with all who afflicted or who afflict you. The me'anayik is a pl participle. Notice the schwa, pathak, dagash forte in the middle root letter of the root ana plus the second singular feminine pronominal suffix. So I will deal with all who have afflicted you, have oppressed you. In that season, ba'eit ha'hi, or in that time, and, next line, v'hoshati et ha'tzolei'ah, and I will deliver the one who is limp. And notice again, it's a participle, so leia plus the definite article ha he, but it is the feminine, singular feminine participle, the comma's he ending. So, you know, we're back to talking about the city, and cities are feminine, so that's why the feminine ending's here. So I will deliver those who are limp or lame, something like that. Va'hanidacha akabetz. And it's a nifal participle this time, singular feminine. And the one who is or has been banished, akabetz, I will gather. And that that finite form of kabatz is important because it will be echoed in verse 20 in a particular way. Last line 19, v'sam team, and I will sort of set them lith hila for a praise, for a song of praise, u l'shem, and for a name, b'kol ha'aretz, in all the earth, set them, you know, for a praise, or it's sort of, I will make them a something of praise and of a name, of a renown or reputation in all the earth. And Hyland Delitzsch are helpful here with that Bosh Tam. The vowel under the bait in the last word of the verse is Kametz Katuf, a short O. The noun is Bosheth, which is shame, and then we have the third plural masculine pronominal suffix, so their shame. And you know, the tricky part is that it is a masculine plural pronominal suffix, which seems to be, you know, now you know, back to that first thing on first line of the pericope on Israel, and Delitzsch is helpful. He talks about it as it has been in the earth where the shame, you know, of the people is sort of you know, demonstrated or has been imposed on them. And so now this is part of the great reversal to give them, to set them up as praise and to have them have a good name in all the earth as opposed to you know, a shameful one or being a byword among the nations. Verse 20, Ba'etahi, you know, in that time or at that time, Avi etkem, I will bring you all. Variation on the direct object form, the accusative form of the second plural masculine pronoun. Most of the time we see otham, or excuse me, no, with efkem we would see this. Think about something else. So I will bring you, and now the next clause is kind of an embedded one, uva'eth, you know, and va'eth kabzi, sort of in the time of my gathering, kabzi, pal infinitive construct plus the first singular common pronominal suffix. So when I gather you, and it's just sort of like putting the dependent or subordinate clause second as opposed to putting it first. You know, it's at that time I will bring you. What time is it? The same time as when I gather you from the preceding verse, the ones who were banished, I will gather, ha-nif-ha, ha-kabetz. And now, you know, having given that qualification, resumes, ki etain etchem, for I will give you l'shem v'lif-hila. Give you, again, sort of set you here, sam or seem, the root in verse 19 is being used as parallel to or synonymous with natan, I will give or set you, you know, as a name and as a, you know, a praise. So with a, again, with renown and being praiseworthy, the Kol Amei Haaretz, among all the peoples of the earth. final line, Beshuvi, Eth Shuvotekem, La'enekem, Beth plus the common infinitive construct of Shuv, which is Shuv, plus the first singular common pronominal suffix. So it's when I turn or turn back, works better in this case than return or something like that. When I turn back, and Shavuot is captivity, so it's your captivity. So when I turn back, your captivities in or before your eyes, says Yahweh. So the thing is that in turning aside the captivity, again, Zephaniah, end of the 7th century, the time, even though it's the Josianic Reformation period, Zephaniah, you know, knows that there is an unfolding day of Yahweh that's going to come, that's going to wash everything away in terms of Judah. And yet this this rejection of Israel and Judah does mark a change to enlarge the scope of God's redemption to include all nations. Preceding our text, there is language that suggests a kind of winnowing that takes place so that the wicked in Israel or Judah are pushed out and those who seek Yahweh are brought in. Sort of the mixture of judgment and deliverance motifs in the passage show how judgment and deliverance, or judgment and salvation, are enacted in the same events. So there is a Zion within Zion that we will see here, or a true Zion under the visible Zion, you know, a Zion of the faithful. And this is a marvelously typological and eschatological text, because the, you know, the rejection of an old Israel, we have the opportunity for the arrival of the true Israel, in whose suffering and death judgment and deliverance are enacted in the same event, in order to bring about the restoration, the claim on a new Israel, the church of God's people in Christ. Thank you.